Hi, this is Jason Baldoff, and you're listening to Super Game Stuff with Coke Logic.
Hello, my name is facebook.com/clubsodakenny, and you're listening to Game Stuff. It's none other than the great Coke Logic.
Ahoy, hoy, and welcome to Super Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. And even though I'm not going to do traditional Super Game Stuff, I still want to do the True School Hip Hop video game review. Because I've been playing some games, and I really want to talk about them. And right now we've got DJ Bloodshot laying down the thick-ass beats from Rebel Music. You can find him on Twitter under Rebel Music. That's R-E-B-L-M-U-S-I-C. No second E in Rebel. Just follow Coke Logic on Twitter. C-O-K-E-L-O-G-I-C. And you'll be able to find him. Look at that, all the plugs. So the first game I'm going to talk about is Skyrim. I know I probably should save this for the last segment of the podcast, so that way you linger longer. Time spent listening, all that shit, make you sit through a couple of more rants and reviews before I get to it, but no, I'm just going to go right into it. Skyrim is massive. It's a massive fucking game. It's like Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. It's the type of game where you can just walk from town to town and it will literally take minutes. I don't know. Someone should clock this in. Walking from the northeast end of Skyrim to the southwest end of Skyrim and see how long it takes. I would guess 40 minutes. Maybe longer. I don't know. But luckily they have fast travel in this game, which makes life a lot easier. But it's a very big game. There's one thing that kind of hurts Skyrim's immensity of the world is it's a little sparse. Like I said, you can walk great distances, but you're not going to come across a lot of encounters, a lot of enemies. You'll come across deer, you'll come across elk and rabbit and fox, and depending on what location you're in, you'll come across actual hostile creatures like giants and trolls and saber-toothed tigers and bears. But it always seems to be there's about one every couple of minutes. There hasn't been too much time where I've gone like, oh, here's a great area to grind. I can go and kill a bunch of these bears, so my sword play will be a lot better. It just doesn't work that way, and it kind of feels, like I said, sparse. Oblivion is the developer of Skyrim, and the game they did before was Fallout 3. And sparse was alright for Fallout 3 because it was a post-apocalyptic Fallout. You know, everything was supposed to be dead. There was supposed to be a lot of space in between things, or at least a lot of lack of life in between things, because life was supposed to be very underpopulated. Everything was dead or dying or a ghoul. But even though it's technically impressive with all the trees and the mountains and the draw distance of how far you can see out into the area on the horizon, if you see something, you could walk to it. And that's always cool. I always love that. But graphically, it just doesn't look as good as other open world games like Dark Souls, which looks very crisp and the textures are just phenomenal on Dark Souls. Or another favorite, which is Red Dead Redemption. And Red Dead Redemption was supposed to also be very sparse on purpose because it was the Old West. But there's actually more activity going on in Red Dead Redemption's open lands than there is in Skyrim. Occasionally you'll come across some things like two mages battling out or a wolf running after a rabbit to attack them. But it just doesn't seem to be enough. It really feels like there's a lot of times where you can just put away your sword and put away your magic and just walk and be okay. And I don't think that's a good thing. I think you should have to walk around this world with your guard up all the time. This is like, alright, well, what the hell's around that next, that bend over there, you know? And don't get me wrong, there are bandits and thieves that'll come up and attack you, but this is when you're approaching some sort of den or hideout or something like that. I'm just talking about walking through the woods. Where are the encounters? You know? There's some, if you go down by rivers, you'll find some mud crabs, and there's two of them. They're very easy to kill. I think they're actually very weak to fire, or at least I just blow fire. I hose fucking enemies with fire, and they're dead. But there's only two of them, so it's like, what do you, you know, fill this world. You got a big world? Fill it with stuff. But I'm glad I started off the conversation saying how big and empty it is. I'm sure that's what everyone wants to hear. And I'm going to knock it down one more peg. Maybe I've just seen too many other games lately, but it's not exactly a pretty game. I mean, there's a lot of people out there saying how beautiful it is and how fantastic it looks. I don't know what they're talking about. I see it and I see rocks that look like rounded, shiny, kind of wet textured polygons. Everything kind of has a rounded look. I mean, even when you're talking about like rocks and gravel and stuff, everything's like rounded, and maybe that's the art style, but it looks like shit because you don't think of a mountain as being polished stone. You think of it as rough, jagged areas, you know? And everything in this game has this rounded feel. The trees are very nice. The foliage is very cool. It definitely, there's a lot being drawn on the screen, I'll say that. But just some of the textures. Like, you walk along and you'll see a patch of gravel, but it doesn't read as gravel instantly. Like, you're not immersed in the game enough to say, oh, that's a patch of earth. You go, oh, look at that texture over there. It's constantly reminding you that everything has a painted texture layer over it. I mean, as bad as I thought Rage was, Rage is a gorgeous game compared to Skyrim. And maybe when people say, oh, Skyrim's such a beautiful game, what they're actually referring to is the sum of its parts, or whatnot, whatever video game journalism lingo to use there, where you accumulate everything and then total it up, you put it in the calculator and you say, all right, well, this had some swamp areas, this had some rocky hills, this had some snow-blinding mountaintops, this had dungeons. So if you take all of that together, you go, man, that is very expansive and that is very diverse. Everything from a wood house to concrete pillars just looks like a bunch of rounded edges to me. Maybe it's a stylistic thing, I don't know. Okay, so what we got so far here? We got a big, sparse, ugly textured world. That's fantastic. So where the fuck am I going with this? Seems to be a lot of negatives. Let's talk about dragons. That's one thing that is, maybe that sparseness is supposed to come into play where you're supposed to let your guard down because, the dragons in this game, they fly overhead and they're random. Whether you're in town, whether you're in the middle of a forest, whether you're on a mountaintop, maybe you're, going after a quest, maybe you're in a quest, they'll happen. The actual occurrence of dragons showing up almost seems to be at the most inopportune times. It's mostly when you've picked up a bunch of weapons and you're almost over-encumbered, which is basically you're carrying too much equipment so you can't fucking walk for shit. So you gotta dump something or drink a potion to make yourself stronger or put on some equipment to make yourself stronger so you can carry more shit, so you can fast travel back to your house, dump the shit off, come back to where you were. But it always seems to be like, oh fuck, a dragon appears. And it's great. That's the great part of this game. And it's fun as shit. Because since it's so unscripted, you never know exactly. You'll be on the side of a mountain, or you'll be in a place where there is no cover. So you'll have to adapt to the way you're going to be fighting this dragon and kill him. Because some dragons, there's no, you know, just the geometry, the lay of the land, there's no place for them to land and for you to attack them. So, you know, get those archery skills up. That's one thing you have to really count on. And I think a lot of people have found this is, even if you don't like shooting a bow and arrow, always carry a bow and arrow around. Because there have been times where I've not been able to get to a dragon. He has not landed on solid ground for me to go hack and slash him to bits and pieces because of the world around me. So I had to take him down with a bow and arrow, and it took longer because my archery skills weren't up at all. Because I had not been using a bow and arrow, but that taught me, oh yeah, I should definitely improve my archery skills. And the way you level in this game is by using the trait or skill that you're going to be using. if you equip heavy armor and get hit, the more you get hit with that heavy armor on, the more your heavy armor stats go up. The more you use a sword, the better you are with a sword. The more you use magic, the better you are with magic, so on. And the other nice thing that they do with the skills is you can meet some people that are archers or sell magic, and they're like, would you like me to train you? And it's like, all right, for 200 gold, you could pay for leveling up. Now, they do put a cap on it. Like, per level, you get to learn 5 things from anyone, anywhere. Otherwise, every level, you would just get a bunch of money, sell all your shit, go level up with ease, and max out all of your stats very early on. But it's a nice way to handle it, because I have been doing a lot of conjuring. I haven't done a lot of smithing. So when I actually want to go and do those things, I don't have to start from the beginning and say, all right, well, now I'm just going to solely focus on this shit and try to get my stats up. I could just go to a trainer and be like, all right, I'm going to use up my 5 turns right here. Here's money. Train me a little bit. Go up 5 levels in that stat. And, you know, I get a little better. So there's a lot of great choice on how to level up. This is a terrible segue right here. Basically, what I'm trying to get to is in Fallout, there was a lot of ways to make decisions that affected your game. If you do a job for Group A to go kill Group B, you can go over to Group B and they could say, oh, no, no. Instead of killing us, why don't you go back to the people that gave you this mission, go fuck them over, and then you'll be on our side. Or simply have people from Group B dislike you because you're working for Group A. I understand that these are two very different games, Skyrim and Fallout 3, but they're made by the same company. Bethesda made Oblivion, then they made Fallout 3, then they made Skyrim. So I'm not totally way off base here on saying, well, what happened to the decision-making stuff? Because that's what I think is lacking in Skyrim. I like the option of going on a quest for a person and picking up this very valuable item, bringing it back to them, and instead of giving it to them, lying to them and saying, no, I didn't get the item, something else happened, and then go selling it somewhere or using it for some other purpose. I like the freedom in that, and that's something that is just not readily available in Skyrim. There's a few times where I actually I thought, okay, this could be promising, this would be cool. There was a mission. Oh, spoiler! No, it's not a spoiler. Shut up. It's one of the hundreds of miscellaneous missions. There was a 3-way love affair where a woman wanted me to deliver a letter. Or wait, it was a guy who wanted me to deliver a letter to another guy to tell him to back the fuck off of this woman. So instead, I went to the woman and let her know what was going down. And then she got mad at the guy sending the letter because it's like, how dare you get up in my grill? And then everything was settled in this very Fallout 3 way where it's like, aha, I went behind your back, and even though I was doing a mission for you, I fucked you over. It was kind of fun. But then that's been it for about 40 more hours. There's not a lot of choice. I mean, a lot of times in a dialogue tree, it's one branch. I mean, you'll have a conversation with somebody, and you're expecting, well, I can smart off to them, or I can tell them the truth, or I can lie to them or something. I mean, there is a speech statistic. You know, I actually started trying to get my speech up because I'm like, oh, I want to do this thing where, like Fallout 3, you basically don't have to kill anyone. You can go through the entire game just talking your way through situations. Fallout New Vegas, not developed by Bethesda, but developed by Obsidian. The way I beat Fallout New Vegas, my speech statistic was so high, I talked my way out of fighting the last battle. I also did that on Mass Effect 1, which I think was just fucking amazing. That's the kind of freedom I'm looking for. But you'll talk to people, and you'll think, all right, well, I have a lot of responses to give, and there'll be one choice. Some entire conversations to set up a mission or to talk to somebody about a mission will be press A, press A, press A. Oh, do I want to say this or that? Well, let me pick the smart-ass answer. And they're like, oh, you must be joking. And then it'll default back. It's like, all right, just pick the one we wanted you to pick all along, and none of this matters. And honestly, I understand they're two different games. Fallout 3 had to be faithful to the Fallout series and have a lot of different choice, different factions, fucking people over, that'll, you know, all that stuff. And Elder Scrolls is a totally different game, but I really wish that was in there. I don't care about the morality system, because people yell, holy shit, you know, it's not about doing good or doing evil? You know, don't enough games do that or at least try that? I don't know. That's a great question. Why isn't there a morality system in Skyrim? It's got everything else. Okay, and you know, I was going to talk about how the start of the story is very slow because in Elder Scrolls IV, Oblivion, you knew what the story was, is to shut all the hell gates or whatever. In Fallout 3, you needed to go find your father. In Fallout New Vegas, you got shot and you wanted to track down your killer. Or I guess not your killer, your shootist. In this, it's very open and you don't really have a good source of I need to go do something right off the bat, so it kind of has a very slow start to the game. But I'm not going to harp on that because I think I've already called this game a giant, sparse, ugly, weird level system that actually works this time around with a bunch of random dragons that's no Fallout 3, so I'm not going to say it has a shit story. There's main quests, secondary main quests that like attribute to the overall story, and then there's a miscellaneous quest folder, which is a fucking folder because it is just a laundry list of find this, go here, tell him that, and it's hours to do. Just hours upon hours besides in place of main story. Zero shortage on game here. I'm 40 hours in, and I can just tell there's still a lot left to do based on the quest sheet that I have that says there's a lot left to do. If you were to say, this is a 200-hour game, maybe 300-hour game, totally factual statement. It can be, and probably is, that fucking long. And there's going to be DLC. So even if you wrap up the main story and fucking save the world, la-di-da, there's going to be DLC probably in a few months because the game just came out. No one's finished this fucking game. Guarantee you that. So is this the best RPG ever? No. No, of course not. No. I think that'd be like Final Fantasy VI, Final Fantasy III American. There's a lot of hype going on right now with this game. It sold 3.5 million copies in a 48-hour period. To compare that to another game, Modern Warfare 3 sold 6.5 million copies in 24 hours, and that is the highest-selling game, or sorry, the highest-selling thing ever. Or is it fastest? Highest and fastest, the most high-fast, the fastest, most high thing ever of all time of anything. You think about an iPad, you think about a new telephone, you think about a car, anything that's ever been sold, that's sold the most, the quickest, boom. Basically everyone is playing Modern Warfare 3, or they're playing Skyrim. And finally I'm going to address one last thing about Skyrim before we move on to Assassin's Creed Revelations. I've been getting a lot of feedback on Twitter. CokeLogic on Twitter, by the way. That's CokeLogic. And people go, man, where do you find the time to play this stuff? All these games. And I'm like, why are you talking like that? I'm that guy. I'm the guy who talks like this. I'm like, okay. Hey, guy. Hey. And it's like, remember that time when you watched a 5-hour baseball game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was playing video games.
Oh.
Yeah, remember that time you were watching 4 episodes of Family Guy that you probably own on DVD anyways?
Yeah, I was real bored. Nothing was on.
Yeah, I was playing video games.
Oh.
See, that's where that happens. I'm a very shrewd motherfucker when it comes to things I care about as far as things on TV. Sports can go eat a dick. Super Bowls are gay. I'm going to repeat that so it's a nice clean take if anyone wants to use it against me. Super Bowls are gay. My Super Bowl? In November. So that's where I find the time. It's either this, Photoshop, or recording music.
You like talking sports? I like talking sports. It's the Davey Mac Sports Program XL on Sirius XM, live every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 in the West. Listen to me, Eastside Dave McDonald, rock the world of sports like it's never been rocked before in the history of radio. The Davey Mac Sports Program XL, every Saturday on the Opie and Anthony Channel, Sirius 206, XM 105. Let's do it, Dawson!
Okay, Assassin's Creed Revelations. This is kind of going to be a split review. What the fuck does that mean? There's two types of people
that I'll be talking to while I'm blathering on about Assassin's Creed Revelations. The first type of person is they've never played Assassin's Creed. It was just off their radar, but they're hearing about it this holiday because a lot of people are talking about it. The second type of person is a person who played the original Assassin's Creed, put up with the repetitious gameplay, loved the assassinations, and finished it to completion because there was an underlying story there that got much more grand in Assassin's Creed 2 and then was ready to start kicking ass in Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. There's people that know the underlying story Assassin's Creed and people who have never played it before. If you played the previous Assassin's Creed games, this one does not live up to what your expectations were. If you've never played an Assassin's Creed game before, you're not going to understand almost any of the story because everything refers back to the previous games. This is not one of those games where you can jump in this entry and go, oh, I understand what the hell's going on. None understanding. You will not understand what the hell's going on, but it is the most refined version of the game. The textures are beautiful. The city is just amazing, teeming with life. The design work on the clothing is just amazing because it takes place in Constantinople, where I guess there's sort of this hodgepodge of Greek and Italian and Asian influences on the people because everything... I don't know my fucking history. Fuck that noise. Fuck history. Super Bowls are gay and fuck history. But all the clothing is so detailed and vibrant, and it just, it's a fantastic looking game. It's better than the original Assassin's Creed. It's not better than Assassin's Creed 2 as far as the story goes. Mechanically, yes. Mechanically is vastly superior to Assassin's Creed 2, just like Brotherhood was superior to Assassin's Creed 2. Here's the sticky part. It is not better than Brotherhood, the game before Revelations. So this holiday season, you see the commercial for Assassin's Creed. You go, holy shit, that looks awesome. I want to play that. If you've played these games before, go ahead and pick it up. It's a great game. I recommend it, but it's not going to be very different than Brotherhood. If you've never played an Assassin's Creed game before, don't buy this. Go find Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. It's probably like $20 now, maybe less if you find a used copy. Almost the same game as far as the play mechanics. It has better missions, it has better characters, a much better story. You'll enjoy it more. Altair, the protagonist from the first game, is on the box art, along with Ezio Auditore. And that is one of the most misleading fucking things I've ever seen in my life. Because they're pretty much back-to-back. Ezio's looking one way, Altair's looking the other. Guys in the middle says, what do you want from me? But on the box art, on the cover, the first thing you see, your first impression, you walk into a store, you see this, you see the protagonist from the first game next to the protagonist of the second game, and you think, oh fuck, that's awesome. But what happens is there's five short ass fucking shit short segments of Altair that last, if you wanted to really milk it for all it's worth, 5 minutes apiece. The majority of the time is spent as Ezio, doing all of his normal quests. What kind of quests? Well, stuff that you saw in Brotherhood. Altair, there's things that Ezio needs to go get, and when he gets these objects, there's a flashback to Altair. It doesn't last long enough. There's not as many of them. I would love to have a game where it was pretty much split 50-50. It probably would be the best entry in the series if it was split right down the middle, if there was more Altair. I mean, you do get a lot of backstory on him, and you get to know everything you need to know. But, I mean, develop a character further. Even if they've said that this is the last time you're going to see these two protagonists, and next game there's going to be a different protagonist. They're going to change things up. So this is kind of the swan song for both characters. So it's like, why not really fucking do it up? Alright, so if you've never played this game before, I'm not going to ruin this for you, but if you have played this game before, I'll talk in code. Desmond's story is virtually non-existent and is actually a side mission. What that means is he has such little to do in this game that if you wanted to not play as him at all, that's completely an option. Because instead of flags this time, you're collecting 100 animus fragments. You don't actually have to collect 100, all 100 of them. Or maybe that's yet to be seen. Maybe there's something cool if you do collect all 100. but there's five doors. One if you collect, like, five Animus Fragments, one if you collect 10 Animus Fragments, 15, 20, 30. And each door that opens up, as you're playing through as Ezio collecting these fragments, you go back and as Desmond, except for you're not playing as Desmond like you did in past games. This time around, it's some sort of really bad, almost clever. It could have been clever, but it's just not really good at all. Isn't that a fine line? It could have been clever, but not good at all. Not really a thin line at all, is it? Think of it like Portal. It's done in a first-person point of view, and you get to lay down these Tetris blocks, and you get to build a staircase. You have to get from point A to point B in a room with obstacles in your way. It's maybe a little lengthy to describe, so I'll just say it's really stupid, but go ahead and do them all, just because if you're playing this game and you're invested in the series, why not? Because it kind of fills out Desmond's backstory just a little bit, but pretty much everything you needed to know or have already known. And maybe some stuff they're kind of injecting at this point in the game because they didn't hammer home before. Or just stuff they're introducing for the first time. I don't know. So all of that being said, Assassin's Creed Revelations, if you're into the series, I totally recommend it. Only on the stipulation that it's probably not going to be your favorite entry into the series. That's probably going to be Brotherhood. You're picking up the latest game that's not as good as the last game. Maybe you wait for Black Friday. Maybe you do some holiday shopping. Why don't you wait until, why don't you wait for a deal on Amazon where they're selling the thing for $40 or something, you turkey? So, final ratings. I would say Elder Scrolls V, Skyrim, I'd give it a 9. It hasn't immediately sank its teeth into my heart and mauled the love out of me like so many other people are experiencing on the internet. I don't know. People obviously love it. I mean, some people aren't going to be blown away by it. When I'm done recording this podcast, I'm certainly going to go back to it. When I played Assassin's Creed, it was because I took a break from Skyrim, put 20 hours into Assassin's Creed, which, yes, it's a 20-hour game. Assassin's Creed Revelations, 20-hour game. And then went back to Skyrim. So that's got to say something about how much I like the game. I'll give it a 9 out of 10. 10 would be perfect. It's just something missing, and what I think is missing is the freedom of choice in talking to people and lying to them and fucking over another faction. But you know what? This game is so huge. If I'm wrong about this and there are ways to screw over, if I join the Legion and the Empire ends up hating me, that would actually prove me wrong. Maybe there's stuff in the game I have not gotten to. And Assassin's Creed, I'll give a 7. Could have been a lot better. Could have been more Altair, could have had better missions, could have had a much better story, but just doesn't live up to the series highlight of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. So there you go. And this is a long fucking podcast. Jesus Christ, I said I wasn't going to do a podcast in a while. I ended up doing probably the longest one I've ever done. So I'm going to end this really quickly. Thank you to DJ Bloodshot for the beat. You can find him on twitter.com/rebelmusic. That's R-E-B-L-M-U-S-I-C. And you can find me on Twitter, Coke Logic. That's C-O-K-E-L-O-G-I-C. Thank you for listening to this and have a happy Thanksgiving. Oh, sorry, unless you're Jewish. And this is Coke Logic signing off for Super Game Stuff.